Oh, yeah, we got to take up the offering. Man. Let's take up the offering tonight. Hallelujah. Genesis 25 here in a second. Let's ask the Lord to bless the offering. Father, thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Bless this offering for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ghost, and talking about the Holy Spirit, I've said this, Brother Bilbo used to teach that they were different. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two different ones, but they're the same. Because if you believe that, like I've talked to him about, I said that would be three or four parts of the Trinity, and there's not four parts of the Trinity. The Bible tells us there's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and but when I've been praying about that, looking at it, but we find that people in the Old Testament, they knew about the ghost, they knew about the Holy Spirit. David said, Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And the Old Testament, you've got to realize this, the Old Testament, the Spirit of God come upon a man like it did David, and David sang, and Saul had the Holy Spirit. It came upon him, but it wasn't a permanent indwelling. It wasn't permanent. And that Holy Spirit could, when you grieved him like Saul did, who disobeyed God, God took that spirit away from him. He took the Holy Spirit and he gave it to David. And David in Psalm 51, when he messed up with Bathsheba, he was praying. He said, God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, you and I sitting here tonight, you can't lose the Holy Ghost. He's there. The Holy Spirit's inside you. And no matter what you do, you can't lose him. He's there. The Bible says that in Genesis 25, the Jews knew something about a ghost. They knew about that. The ghost is a shape of a man, of his body. It takes the shape. It's just like the Holy Ghost takes the shape of the Father and the Son. And look at Genesis 25. Look at verse 8, talking about, I almost want you to see this, just these couple verses on the Holy Ghost departing, or the ghost departing, not the Holy Ghost. Genesis 25, and look at verse 8. And I'm going to show you something pretty interesting. It says, Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his, what, people. Where'd he go? Now, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that, when you're dead, you go in the ground to the resurrection and all that stuff. And the Mormons, I don't know exactly what they believe about that. But the Bible says he was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his people. Now look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 17. It says, these are the years of the life of Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's son Tamar. Hamar. Why did I say Tamar? Anyway, it was by a servant of his wife, and he had Ishmael. And the Bible talks about him being a wild man, and this and that. And he's a, and so. But look here, and these are the sons of Ishmael. Going down 17, it says these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered onto his people. Gathered to his people. Look at Genesis 49. Just go through a few verses. You don't find the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament mentioned. You don't find it. Now, these are people's, their soul, their ghost dying, their soul, and they're leaving their body. In the Old Testament, if a man's not saved, his body, his soul was connected, but then his soul, the Bible says Sarah and her soul was in departing. Her soul was in departing. And that's why it was so important in the Old Testament. Their soul was connected to the flesh, that the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So everything you touched, everything you handled affected your soul. It affected you. So in the New Testament, you can touch things that are wicked and bad, but it doesn't affect your soul. That's why you could die and go to heaven, and you can go directly to heaven. it doesn't affect your soul. The Old Testament, it did. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so that's why it was so important, the Old Testament, to live right. It's important the New Testament live right. Don't get me wrong. Because you don't live right in the New Testament, then what happens is God says, you're in my temple now. The Holy Ghost of God is inside you. You're like the tabernacle or the temple, and you can defile it, and then God will wipe it out. And look at this. You say the Jews never thought God would ever destroy the temple. They never thought God would do that. They said, no way. God, Jehovah God, is in the temple. No way. And God did. Look at Genesis 49, and look at verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into a bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. He was gathered to his people. So where did he go? Well, the Bible teaches you that they went to paradise below. They went down. They didn't go directly into heaven. He said, what about Moses and Elijah? Moses and Elijah, there was exceptions to the rule. They went into heaven. They were up in heaven. Or they were in paradise and God allowed them to come up when Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah talked to him. And then the Bible tells you Moses and Elijah is coming back in Revelation 11 together. They're coming back and they're going to be killed together. So in Genesis 49, verse 33, he says, and he was gathered unto his people. And where is his people? They were in paradise. Look at Luke 16. Look in Luke 16. Jesus, a lot of the new preachers, so-called preachers, they try to say, well, this is a parable. This is not a parable. Jesus was talking, he named the people. He named them. Lazarus, he named Lazarus, but he didn't name the rich man. And there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at a gate full of sores. Now, I want you to see the thing. There was a rich man. In the Old Testament, the rich man, usually a rich man meant that God really blessed this guy and the guy was right with God. And then sometimes you'll find a bad rich man, and he ended up going to hell. But usually if a man was rich, that meant he was a good man. He had money. He was going to be a godly man. But not always so. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. See that thing? Where was he gathered to? To his people. Now it's called Abraham's bosom. Abraham shows up. Now, there was probably Adam there, Adam's wife, Seth, Adam's son, all these folks that Old Testament, they gathered onto his people. So you read through Genesis, you find these people, that followed the Lord. You said, what happened to Cain? Don't know. But if he was there... The Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The rich man went to hell. And not because he was rich, because he was an evil man, wicked man. And people always talk about these days, God weighs your good and your bad. That's what he did in the Old Testament. Your good and the bad. If you went to the temple, after the temple was built, the tabernacle, before Abraham didn't have a temple, but Abraham sacrificed to God. He recognized the God. You find Abraham's father-in-law knew who God was. Abraham's father-in-law, he went to him. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing that Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. He said, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So Abraham's gathered unto his people. Job talks about it, about giving up the ghost. Job talked about it. He said, He said, man, that maybe the day I was born, I wish I would have gave up the ghost, and so on. But then you only other time you find mentioned is in two other places, Jeremiah 15 and Lamentations, and mentioned about the ghost. Look at Jeremiah. Job talks about giving up the ghost. That's talking about the man's soul. And look at, I said Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. When Gabriel announced that Jesus Christ was going to be born, he announced that he was going to be a child of the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah 15, verse 9. It says, she that hath born seven languages, she shall give up the ghost. Her son is going down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. I'm talking about talking about Moses and Samuel and so on. It goes on down, talking about the destruction that's going to come upon Israel. Now go to Matthew chapter 1. Go to Matthew 1. Now all of a sudden you hit the New Testament and you find Matthew 1. And Matthew 1 talking about a child coming forth from the Holy Ghost, part of the Trinity. So you got Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in the Trinity. They said there is no such thing as the Trinity. Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. But it's mentioned, yes, it is. It's mentioned by the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's a Trinity. They don't believe in that. Mormons don't believe in that. They don't believe in it. They don't believe that God, Jesus Christ, was God in the flesh. But in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and placed the seed of God in her womb. Placed the seed. And that child was God in the flesh. Look at verse, go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her and placed the child of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God, born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word becomes flesh. It was a child of the Holy Ghost, and the Word is Jesus Christ. Now go to John chapter 3, or Matthew chapter 3. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3. Matthew 3. And verse 11. I'm amazed at how many people turn away from believing that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. I'm amazed. A lot of preachers today preaching don't even believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. If he wasn't God in the flesh, he couldn't have died for nobody but himself. If he wasn't God, he couldn't pay for sins of nobody. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's three baptisms there. He said, he said, talking about himself, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, on the repentance, but the one coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Baptism is no water here. When Jesus Christ baptized a person with the Holy Ghost, it's a spiritual baptism. And the fire is a spiritual, I mean, hell fire. People going to hell. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, just building a little bit of a case. Matthew 12, verse 31. Matthew 12, 31, 32. He says, wherefore I say unto you, all manners of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven on the men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven on the men. Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. They were calling Jesus all kinds of names. But when the Pharisees said, you're healing and what you're doing is not through the power of God, it's through the power of Beelzebub, the devil. And they were saying the spirit that was in him was of the devil, not the Holy Ghost. And that thing there could only be committed when Jesus Christ was on this planet. That was the only thing, because he was right present in front of them. I've had people tell me, said, well, the only sin that will keep you out of heaven is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I said, what is that? They said, well, when you say that Jesus, you know, I said, well, the only thing close to that is a man rejecting Jesus Christ, saying, I don't need him to get to heaven. I don't need to get saved. That's, you know, he's determined for hell. But whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I mean, man, he telling them Pharisees right in front of him, because you back up, you'll find they were saying all kinds of stuff to him. And they were accusing him of healing by a demonic power. And the power was the Holy Ghost. And that's what that sin could only be committed when Jesus Christ was on this planet. So look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Look at verse 50. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open. So you remember when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist, he saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming upon Jesus like a dove coming into him. They were together. When Jesus Christ was crucified, Holy Ghost, he yielded up the ghost. He's talking about his own self, his own soul. But they were together. Go to Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's why we baptize people in three, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now go to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. I showed you all that. I'm going to show you this. I think I did already show you this. But Acts 19. Acts 19. People break their neck, man, trying to twist the word of God, change things, and they mess up. They mess it up big time. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, man, you can mess up things. It came to pass, verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost? Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Now, he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? Remember, John said, I baptize you with baptism of repentance. That's what I baptize you with. But one coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. the hellfire, or the Holy Ghost. Now, you'll find charismatics saying to you, you'll say, they'll use that verse and say, man, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire. I said, if you did, you wouldn't want it. Because it's two baptisms when it comes to Holy Ghost and then fire. And one of them's hellfire, one of them's, you know, because of why? People end up in the lake of fire. Baptism. So here he asked them, what have you been baptized? They said, look what it says, verse 3. And they said unto him, on the what then were you baptized? They said, on the John's baptism. They only knew, they didn't know nothing about no Holy Ghost. And here we sit tonight, and we're sitting here, we got the presence of God in us. He's sealed in us. That's why it's so important for you to live for God, because he's inside you. Take your Bible, looking for 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. And I realize I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd that's faithful in church and all that stuff. This probably needs to be taught on Sunday morning. It says, our gospel came on not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. So the Bible talks about when they were praying in the Holy Ghost and they were seeking God. But it says, the word of God came on you not only in word only, but also in power. That's what we want. You want power in your life to be able to overcome things, to be able to overcome the anger and tempers and problems and troubles and things in your life, so you don't lose your cool and you be able to be a testimony for Jesus Christ to see people saved. So when the word of God is being witnessed to people and talking to people, it'll be power there. You want power in your life. You want power to pray, power to help your family, power to love your wife and love your husband. I love your kids, raise your children. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So the Holy Ghost, here we are sitting here tonight. We've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, spiritually speaking. We're sealed to the day of redemption. And the Bible says we were circumcised with circumcision not made with hands. It cut our soul loose. That's why that circumcision in Colossians chapter 2 is so important, because God cut the soul loose from the flesh. So your flesh could not corrupt your soul. And the Holy Ghost wouldn't be able to, if your flesh and your soul were stuck together, the Holy Ghost couldn't live inside you permanently. In a sense, he's in a bubble. In a sense, he's inside you, and so he can't be defiled. You can grieve him, you can quench him, but you can't defile him. And you can't defile your soul. That's why you're eternally saved. So you got the charismatics and people that, you know, you got the Mennonites believe that you can lose your salvation. Some Mennonites, not all. You got Church of Christ believe you have to be baptized to get to heaven. That's the only way, in Jesus' name only. You got the Mormons that believe that, you know, only through their church can you get there. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, you know, you have to, you know, work out your own salvation, that kind of thing. Just do all kinds of works and try to, hopefully, you make it. And you know, they believe that when you die, you're like a dog, you go in the ground, that's it, and then that kind of thing. But then you got most religions in the world today believe that you have to, God weighs your good and your bad, and here maybe you good outweigh your bad, but you still mention Jesus every once in a while and get baptized and give to the church and all these things, and hopefully you might make it. And they never know nothing about the Holy Ghost of God being inside you and permanently living in you. The Catholic Church, they don't know nothing about that. They talk about the Spirit, but what spirit they have is the wrong spirit. Most people have a wrong spirit. They have the wrong spirit in them. And so here we are. We got a Bible that you got the Holy Spirit of God that's permanent inside you. You can't lose it. That's why you can't be happy when you're sinning. Amen. You're only happy when you're living right. And when you're witnessing for the Lord or you're doing something for him, you're only happy then. And when you're trying to, you know, when I first got saved, I tried to go back and do the old things that I used to do. And I didn't make, at first I was like, and inside me, I felt grieved. And you know, have me all know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit of God is inside you, and you get grieved when you start doing stuff that you shouldn't do. And if you don't repent over it and say, God, I'm sorry. God, help me not to do that again, Lord. God, forgive me. Then you'll bring judgment upon yourself, and you're grieving the Spirit of God. So most Christians don't understand that. And that's why you try to preach and teach that, so people can understand it. Think about it. Here we are sitting here in the 2019, without all the Christians in the world, not maybe 10% understand that they are saved eternally and they got the Holy Ghost of God inside them. Go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. They said, we haven't heard that there is such a thing as called the Holy Ghost. We know about the ghost departing, the soul. We know about that. But we didn't know nothing. We know about the Holy Spirit coming upon you and then leaving you because it left Saul and it left Samson. Samson lost his power when he got his hair cut and disobeyed God. He lost his power. He lost the Holy Ghost. He was there. It was in him, and then it departed. You know, one thing about a Christian, you can grieve the Spirit, but he's always there. The Bible says, he that, we'll look at the verse in a minute, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. 2 Timothy 1, 14. It says this, that the good thing which was commanded, which committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us, which dwelleth in us. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So what are you talking about? Look back at verse 11. Go back to verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. See that thing? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He says, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The words is Timothy. He's writing to Timothy. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, and so on. So he's committing it to Timothy. He said, man, the things that you learn, you taught, keep it by the Holy Ghost. Man, keep the word of sound doctrine. Keep those things that was committed to you. Now, what was I telling you a minute ago about a verse? I was going to show you. What is it? Slipped my mind now. I'll go back. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry. All these things. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So Jesus Christ says, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And a comforter is going to come, and he's going to indwell in you permanently. He's in there. And he says, don't grieve him. Don't quench him. He's there. He's going to comfort you. He's also making intercession for you. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We looked at a lot of this last time, but look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26, we got to stop too. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, the Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you, And you might be having in your mind, I'm going to go do this, I want to do this, and the Spirit of God, and you're saying, God, open that door, and the Lord's saying, no, and the Spirit of God saying, no, that's not the way, that's not your will for his life. That's not the way. And what happens, a lot of Christians get mad because God doesn't see it the way they see it. What the best thing to do is to pray this, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, show me what you want me to do. I told a sister on the phone that I was talking about committing suicide. I said, ask God to show you what he wants you to do. There's people that you can help. There's people you can guide. In your life, you just don't throw it away. He's given you life more abundantly. Don't throw it away. Use it for his glory. That's why he saved you for. A lot of Christians will just get mad at God. She said, I'm bitter. You get mad at God over because your way didn't happen. What you thought you should have didn't happen. And God says, that's not my will for you. Then what happens is you got to line up with God. You got to line up with him and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, what do you want me to do? Most Christians never find, doctors used to say this, Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, blessed is the man that finds the will of God and does it, has the guts to do it. Blessed is the man that finds the will of God and has the guts to do it. That's the thing. We're just scratching the surface on the thing. But I wanted you to see where the Holy Ghost or the ghost left the body. Old Testament, they gathered onto the people. Where were the people at? They were in paradise below. And the Holy Ghost, you're permanent inside of us. You know what's going to happen when the rapture takes place? The Holy Ghost is going to take us out of here. Change these vile bodies and fashion it like on his glorious body. That's the Holy Ghost is permanent inside you. That's why drinking a beer, smoking a joint, all those things can't satisfy no more. Amen. They just don't. They grieve you. And what happens to a Christian, if they keep doing it and say, I don't care, I'm a rebel. You know what you do if you're a rebellious kid? You whoop that tar out of them. And God will whoop the tar out of his children. Amen. Amen. All right. Come on, Ken. Take a prayer request real quick. I'm sorry. I don't want the Lord to whip the tar out of me. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll start on the side here. Brother Nate. Amen. So Brother Nate's asking prayer for salvation for his stepfather, for his little brother to get into church, and then traveling mercies for him and Autumn. Amen. Sister Autumn. Sister Autumn's asking prayer for her boss, Julie. Keep her and the family in prayer because of Julie's dad died. And then for Autumn's mom and son, for traveling mercies, for their traveling. Amen. That was here on the left. Sister Tabby? How many? Two unspokens? Sister Tabby has two unspokens. Anybody else on the side? Brother Lee? Amen.
And ask that he just pricks the heart of those that are still out for whatever their excuse is.
Amen.
And have mercy and blessings on Brother Tim Black and his family and ministry. And Brother Gibson down in Virginia Beach and his ministry.
Amen. So Brother Lee's continue prayer for the ones that are out. Thank the Lord for the ones that are in. Brother Black and his family, health, finances, ministry, as well as the Gibson family in Virginia as well. Amen. Sister Becky? For Miss Linda's surgery coming up, amen. That she gets to it okay, and the doctors do too, amen. Anybody else here on the left? Oh, Ms. Peggy?
We want to pray for April, for that leukemia. Pray for her radiation coming up.
Amen. So Sister Peggy, keep April in prayer. All the stuff she's got to deal with, and she starts radiation in a couple weeks. Amen. Also, Albia for recovery. Keep her in prayer. Amen. Ms. Holly, amen. Sister April? Love Fresher? That who? Their mom died? Okay. So Sister April is asking for the LaFrescia family. The mom died, so keep the family in prayer. And then her father-in-law, Ray, his ear, and she was like that. Keep that in prayer, amen. Let's Brother Jack.
Yes, John.
Who?
John.
John? Sorry, the air kicked on. I'm blaming that. Brother Jack, John for salvation. And a few unspokens. Man, who's in the back? Is that Amanda? Your mom and your family? So I keep Amanda's mom, Dawn, and her family in prayer. Amen. Is here, Jake? Yeah. Amen. Brother Jake, for family, for salvation, and two unspokens. Amen. Anybody else on the side? Amen. Over here on this side, Ms. Linda. So keep it. Little Lukey. All right, Miss Lynn's asking prayer for Brother Mike Minnick and then his dad, Skylie's granddad, and then her other granddad. They're both in the hospital, so keep them in prayer. Then little Luke, Joan and Cody's in the hospital, so keep little Luke in prayer. Amen. Pause here on the side. Brother Eric. Amen. And Brother Erica asked to keep Seven Pillars in prayer for that ministry. Lord willing, going to settle in their house next week. Amen. Amen. Pray all that goes smooth. And then for Anthony, Lord, to keep working on his heart. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Dave? Yes, sir. So Brother Dave, keep Brother Scott in prayer. He wasn't able to make it tonight because of his foot. So pray that gets healed up. And then Brother Dave's Brother George for salvation and William Pearson. And then, of course, the girls and Carl and everyone else, keep and the kids, keep all of them in prayer. Amen. Brother Joe?
I got you on school again.
So Brother Joe's got a few unspoken and the bus ministry. Keep all that in prayer. Sister Sharon? Alrighty, so keep the Kauf family in prayer and the little baby in the NICU that they can get all that worked out. Amen. The baby will be okay. Brother Jay? Amen. So, Brother Jay, for Rose for Salvation, and then for this new job, that it becomes a new job. Amen. It all works out. Sister Sherry. For Tosh to get right. I thought you were telling me to get her name right. All right, for. Is that it?
No.
Oh, not sorry. Good. Caleb's leaving for his training and Andrea coming down. Yes. I say Brian. African, not African American. African Brian. All African, amen. Alrighty, I get confused, amen. So, Sister Sherry, for her sister Tosh to get right. Caleb's going to be leaving for training, so keep him in prayer for Andrea on her way down. And then Brian in Africa, he's in Malawi, and it's really bad, the violence and all that. So it's also bad in South Africa. It's bad in a couple places in Africa right now. Our media in America doesn't show it all, but a lot of people are dying and getting killed, and they don't get upset in those countries about 10 kids dying in a school. And, you know, it's horrible. We're really spoiled over here. We have it good. So we need to thank God for his protection in this country. And just pray for our missionaries and the families and the kids in those countries, and they have no hope. Amen. Sister Victoria? So for her boss, Victoria's boss for salvation, and her friend Sarah is moving to New York. So pray for that. Amen. Anybody else? Ms. Queet?
Pray for Bowers family. I did the funeral today for Jim Bowers. I got to talk to quite a few people and give them the salvation, the funeral. And I got to talk to a few and try to invite some of the folks out.
Amen. Amen. So keep the Bowers family in prayer. Brother Squeak did the funeral today, and he got to give the plan of salvation. Amen. And some people may be coming out to church, so pray for that. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Ms. Judy? So Sister Judy's asking prayer for Erica and the girls. Erica lost her mom last week. So keep her in prayer. Sister Erica, is that it? Amen. Let's see the Lord in prayer. Excuse me. Lord, we just love you, Lord. Just thank you again, Lord, for being so good to us today. Lord, just thank you for all you've given us, God. And just thank you for spoiling us, Lord. And given us so many freedoms in this country, God. Help us take advantage of the opportunities we have, God, to do more for you, Lord, and not worry about how much more we want, God, but help us to realize how much we already have, Lord. Please be your brother Sarah in Africa, God, as was mentioned earlier, Lord. Send him another friend, Lord. I know you're there for him, God, but we're flesh, and it's nice to have some other people around to fellowship with, God, and do things. So please, God, protect him and keep him safe. The Flick family, God, in South Africa, Lord, and their ministry in Malawi, they're doing as well, God. Please protect them and be with them, God. Help Brother Flick with his voice, Lord. I know a lot of these missionaries have been out there 12, 15 years, God, and they're getting worn out, God. So please help send some replacements, God, or some new recruits, Lord, just to fill in the gap and give them a hand. God, the Rosmondo family, God, in Malawi, Lord, as Sherry said, the violence there, God. Please just be with them, Lord. Brother Robinson and Jilly, Lord, him and his family, God, just please be with them. And Brother Nate, Lord, for his stepdad for salvation, Lord, please be with that. His little brother, God, to get in church, Lord, what a blessing that would be. Please be give them traveling mercies, Lord. My sister Autumn, for her co-worker, her boss, Lord Julie, and the family, God, for losing their dad. Please give them comfort, Lord. Please be with her mama and her son, Lord, as they're traveling. Protect them. My sister Tabby, God, for her two unspokens, Lord, please be with those, Lord, you know those are. My brother Lee, God, for the ones that are out, Lord, to get in. And thank God for the ones that are in, Lord. For the Black family, Lord, please be with them, God, as they, with their finances and their ministry and the health, God. And the Gibson family as well in Virginia, God, please be with them and protect them, Lord. My sister Becky, Lord, for her mama, Lord, for Miss Linda, God, please be with her procedure, God. Please give the doctors and nurses wisdom, Lord. Please help her to go through quickly, Lord, and get out and heal quickly, God. Just please protect her, Lord, and keep her safe, Lord, and just be with the family. God, my sister Peggy, Lord, for April, Lord, for her body to heal, God, and for you just to please to just touch her, Lord, and help her, God, with this mess, Lord. And she's about to get this radiation, Lord, which is supposed to help, but it's going to hurt her before it helps her, God. So please protect her and give her strength and just help her be without Bia, Lord, and her healing after this last surgery again, God, help things to get figured out and working there, Lord. And please be with Holly and the family, Lord, as well, as Peggy mentioned, God. April Hebert, Lord, Sister April asked prayer for the LaFrescia family, God. Please be with them, Lord. They lost their mama, God, so please protect them, God, and just give them comfort, Lord. Please be with April's father-in-law, Lord Ray, God, just to help him with his ear, Lord. And the things that are going on, Lord, please just give the family wisdom with that and help him, Lord. My brother Jack, for John, for salvation, Lord, please help him to realize he needs to get saved, Lord. Please be with Jackson Spokens as well, God. Just be my brother there, Lord. My sister Amanda, Lord, for Dawn, her mama, God, please be with her, Lord, with her health and things that she needs, God, and be with Amanda's family, God. And it's a blessing to see her sister, Lord. Help her sister to have a desire to keep coming, Lord, just to grow. God, my brother Jake, Lord, for his family, God, for salvation, Lord, please be with him and Claudia's family, God, just to help him to get saved, Lord. Please be with his two unspokens, Lord. Miss Linda asked prayer for Brother Mike Minnick, God, for his health and things he's dealing with, Lord. Please for his dad and father-in-law, both in the hospital, both Kyla's grandparents, grandfathers, Lord, please, God, just be with the family there and give them guidance, Lord, and your will be done, Lord. Help us to stay in your word more, Lord, and stay prayed up, Lord, so we can accept your will and be in your will, God. Please be with that, Lord. Be with little Luke, Lord, whatever's going on here with him, God, just please work that out. And Brother Eric, Lord, for Seven Pillars program, God, please be with that ministry. Lord, be with the house, Lord. They're supposed to be settling here next week, God. Please help it to be sooner than later. Help everything to go smooth, God. Please help there not to be any problems or any more hiccups, God. Work all that out. Be with Anthony's heart, Lord. My brother Dave asked prayer for Scott's foot, God. Please help my brother Scott's foot to heal. Lord, just protect him, God. Please be with Dave's brother George, God, for salvation, Lord. My son-in-law Carl for salvation as well, God. Melissa Madeline for salvation and wisdom, Lord. Mr. William Pearson, God, for salvation, Lord. Please work all that out, Lord. God, please be with little Kenzie and Gabriel, Lord, for their health. And Ruth Ann to stay healthy, God, and just be with Dave's work, God. Just protect him and help him, Lord, with his health. God, my brother Joe, Lord, for his unspokens, Lord, please be with those, God, and the bus ministry, Lord. Please be with that. Be with the visitation they have on Saturday, Lord. If people aren't able to make it out in the morning, God, they can just run out on their own and invite people to church, God. Just witness to them, God. Please be with that. Lord, for Sister Sharon, for the Kauf family, God, and the little baby and the NICU, Lord, please help the doctors to clean the baby up, God, and get all that worked out. Lord, help the baby to be healthy. Lord, please, and Brother Jay, for Rose, for salvation, Lord, and for this job, Lord, all the background checks and all that mess to go quickly, Lord, and the transition to be smooth. Lord, please work that out, God. My sister Sherry, Lord, for Tosh to get right, God, please be with her, God. Protect her, Lord, but just please help her, Lord. For Caleb, God, for the training, Lord, please keep him safe and healthy, God. Help him to get there and get through it. And be with Andre and the kids as they come down, God. Just please protect them and help them. For Brian, God, in Africa, Lord, please just be with him, Lord, and his work there, God. Protect him and his family and his congregation, Lord. Please, Lord, I know we want everyone to be protected, God, but we especially want your children, God. Just help them to continue to go out, Lord, and witness and encourage people, Lord. Just please be with the country and the continent, Lord, God. Please be here as well, Lord, with our youth, Lord, and their desire to hurt people and just not know you, God. Please help things to change here as well, God. My sister Victoria, Lord, for her boss, for salvation, Lord. Please help her to get saved, God, and just protect your little one. God, for Sarah, Lord, moving to New York, God, please be with her and keep her safe there, God. My brother Squeak, Lord, for the Bowers family, God, and the funeral he had to do, God, please work all that out, Lord. Help somebody get saved and somebody get in and grow, God. My sister Judy, Lord, for Erica, for losing her mama, God, please be with her and the girls, God. Just protect them and comfort them, Lord, and just help them, God. Please, Lord, help all of us, Lord. We were at a funeral today as well, God. We're going to be dead longer than we were alive, God. Help us all to take it serious, Lord, and open our mouth for others, Lord. I know I myself get caught up in my flesh sometimes, working and keeping busy, God. Help me to stop sometimes just to talk to people, Lord, and open my mouth more, God, and please do more for you, Lord. Help us to stay in your word, God, and get stronger, Lord. Help us to stay on our knees and talk to you, Lord. God, please, Lord, help us not to get caught up in our works we do for ourselves and glorify ourselves, Lord. Help us to check them up with your book, God, and make sure they're the right things you want us doing, Lord, not just feel good. God, please save that soul nearest to hell, Lord. God, please be with those who weren't able to come tonight and wanted to, God. Please help all the kids and the teens, Lord, to take something back, Lord, that they've learned, God, to love you more and get closer to you, Lord. Again, help us to witness more for you and open some doors for us this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to love you more.